the Haggadah, Haggadah Shal Pesach. And we know that the Seder begins with a declaration of the order of the stages during the night. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. First we're going to make Kiddush. We'll wash our hands. We'll dip the vegetable in the salt water. Yachatz, we will break a matzah into half. Magid, we're going to tell the story. Rachza, we'll wash our hands for Hamotzi. Motzi matzah, we'll eat bread, or matzah that is. Maror, we'll eat maror. Korech, we'll have the sandwich of matzah and maror. Shulchan orech, we'll have the meal. Tzafun, then that which was hidden away, the afikomen. Barech, we'll have birkas hamazon. Hallel, and then finally, Nirtzah should all be accepted. We'll sing the songs of Chasal Sidur Pesach, eventually Chag Gadya. Everything should be accepted by Hashem. The Chasam Sofer pointed out that perhaps these stages can also be read as personal development. And not just the stages of the night, but really a lesson in how to grow as a person. So Kadesh Urchatz, maybe that stands for a person who sanctifies himself, who wants to become holy. He has to wash off of himself the filth and the illness of this world, being too materialistic, too caught up in the matters of this world. He has to wash that all away to become holy. And through that, karpas yachatz, kadesh urchatz, he made himself holy by washing away excess concern about materialism. Perhaps karpas yachatz means that he loses the difficulty of nations of the world. We know that there's a famous Gemara in Masechet Brachos. Rabbi Alexandri used to daven at the end of Shmoneh Esrei and say, Galuv Yadua Lefanecha, it's clear before you, Sheritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoncha. Our will is to do God your will. Umima Akeval Yadenu, what's stopping us? Seor Shebi'isa, the Yetzer Hara, the leaven in the bread, the Shi'abud Malchios, and the fact that governments are afflicting us and ruling over us. So there's all sorts of pressures from different governments that are making it hard for us to serve Hashem. So Kadesh Urchatz would mean, let's get rid of physicality, not to be so concerned with the physical matters. Let's be concerned with spiritual matters. And through that, karpas yachatz, the yokes of governments which prevent us from serving Hashem, will be broken. Yachatz is to break something in half. And karpas, many commentators point out, is the letters perech samach, hard work for 60. In other words, the 60 ribu, the 60 10,000s of Jews, the 600,000 Jews worked avodat perech, difficult work. Now, avodat perech, we know, means that they were tormented, that the people subjugating us would give us jobs that weren't a fit. You know, they'd have men do women's work and women doing men's work, and they would beat us up and break us psychologically and mentally and spiritually. So karpas, the perech of 60, namely the affliction of nations, yachatz, will be broken as a reward for the person who's kadesh urchatz, who sanctifies himself and washes off all the physicality. But then it goes on. Magid rachza. Not only does a person have to himself let go of physicality, he has to tell others. He has to get magid. He has to tell other people He has to convince other people. Our job is not just to have, you know, a special connection with Hashem, but to spread that special connection, to get as many people as we can to participate in the wonderful attachment with Hashem. This morning when I was trying to prepare some Divrei Torah to hopefully write up for our weekly Torah highlights, and which we try to put in the newspaper, so I saw a wonderful story by Zilberstein's work, Chashukei Chemed. This is a classic Rabbi Zilberstein story. There was a fellow, a kollel guy, who was learning in a kollel, I guess, in Bnei Brak. And somehow he got connected to a shul in another town, in a mixed town, religious, secular, a lot of secular people. And he used to go to that shul and serve as a rabbi there. He'd go there for Shacharis and for Mincha and Mariv. So he saw in the shul, there was a fellow showing up without tefillin, without a talis, just standing in the back of the shul and saying Kaddish. He said, all the Kaddish is in Shacharis. He'd say the Kaddish at the end of Mincha. Then when the rabbi would teach, you know, because they would wait between Mincha until you can daven Mariv a little bit later, he would walk out. And he asked the rabbi, make sure to call me back for that next tefillah, for Mariv. So he knew there must be some story behind this. So what's the story? The story was that this fellow's father had passed away and had an estate of 12 million shekel. So in his will he wrote, I want someone to say Kaddish for me. I want my son to say Kaddish for me. And that I know is going to be a merit for me. So if my son says Kaddish for me 3 times a day, he has to say at Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv, he's going to get 10 million of the 12 million shekel, and my daughter gets 2 million of the 12 million shekel. But if my son loses one tefillah, then it's 50-50. My son gets 6 million, and my daughter gets 6 million. So he had a major motivation to come to say Kaddish. He wasn't religious, wasn't interested. It was 4 million shekel. 4 million shekel for 11 months of work. So he was there every tefillah. Now the daughter figured, no problem. There's no way he's going to do it. So she hired a private eye. And she had a private eye pursuing her brother and filming him going into the shul, making sure that he was saying the Kaddishim. So this went on for a bunch of months, and he's not missing a Kaddish. So she found out from the private eye that what does he do? He comes from Mincha. He says the Kaddish at Mincha. And then when the rabbi teaches, he walks out, and the rabbi calls him back in. So she figured, I'm wasting all this money on the private eye. I can just tell the rabbi, don't call him in. He's outside on the phone. He will miss it. He'll miss it. And then I'll get the 4 million shekel. So she called up the rabbi. She called up the rabbi. And she said, listen, this is what's going on. He has to say Kaddish to get 4 million shekel. If he misses a Kaddish, I get the 4 million shekel. So here's the deal. You just don't go out to call him. You keep teaching, and whatever you forgot to call him, he's going to be on the phone. He's not going to know that you guys are davening Mariv. He's going to miss a Kaddish. I'll have the private eye get a picture of him missing the Kaddish. And then I'll give you 400,000 of the 4 million shekel, and you can give it to tzedakah. You can give it to tzedakah. So the rabbi figured, what a great thing, right? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just not going to tell him that we're about to daven Mariv. So he went to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, who is the top rabbi in Bnei Brak today. Holy in Israel, right? And he goes to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, and he asks Rav Aaron Leib Steinman if he can do this. Wow. You know what? I'll just keep teaching, and I won't tell him that it's time to say Kaddish, and he'll lose out a Kaddish. And then we'll get 400,000 shekel for poor people. You know, this guy's going to get 4 million shekel. He's going to use it for the wrong things. This will get 400,000 shekel for poor people. It'd be a good thing. Why not? So Aaron Leib said, doesn't matter whether he's a good guy or she's a good person. You have to think about the father.
That's right.
The father wants a son to say Kaddish for him. And if you don't call this fellow, the father is going to lose out on a schus of a kaddish being set for him. So he said, but you know, this guy, he embarrasses the Torah. Because after mincha, we sit down and I teach a class. And he walks out. And instead of, you know, learning Torah, he walks out of the Torah. And then I have to go call him in. So Rav Aaron Leib laughed. He said, you're the Torah. He, maybe he's embarrassing you, but he's not embarrassing the Torah. You think you're the Torah? He's walking out. He doesn't want to listen to you. Doesn't mean he's embarrassing the Torah. You need to go tell him so that he could keep saying Kaddish. So he continued doing it, continued saying Kaddish. So there's a happy ending to the story. After a couple of months, this fellow said to the rabbi, aren't you offended that I walk out every time you get up to speak? So the rabbi said, I'm not offended. It's your loss because you're missing out on diamonds. He said, I'm missing out on diamonds. He said, yeah, because we're learning Torah. Torah is diamonds. If you come into the class, you'd see it's diamonds. It's great ideas. So the fellow decided to sit in, and he eventually became a Shomer Shabbos. So that's the idea of Magid. You need a
system more money.
Did he? I don't know if he gave the system more money.
The
father got his objective. There you go. The son said Kaddish. Exactly. Now the son is also Shomer Shabbos. So even more merits for the father.
Wow.
This is the story about Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, as Howie says, only in Israel. Only in Israel would you have such a story. Couldn't make it up, that's for sure. So that's Magid. You have to share the diamonds. Magid, you have to tell other people. So Magid, tell other people, Rachza, that they also should wash off their sins. But then, Motzi Matza. So what does Motzi Matza stand for? When you tell other people about Kaddish Urchatz, to be holy, and to wash away their sinfulness and their materialism, it has to be motzi matzah. The word matzah means a fight, literally. Matzah meriva is a fight and a dispute. You have to take out the fight in when you give the rebuke. When you give rebuke, it's possible that it can become contentious. Oh, people become defensive. You're telling me I'm wrong. It can become contentious. It has to be motzi matzah. You have to take out the fight. Like Aaron HaKohen. Aaron used to bring about Oeh Vesabrios. He used to love the creations and bring them close to the Torah. So he gave rebuke, but only through a lot of warmth and a lot of love. And then, Maror Korech, a person who's trying to help other people out, is going to have a really hard time because people are difficult. So Maror, he's going to have a lot of bitterness, a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, agita. But Korech, he wraps it, he carries it. Okay, this is what it takes to try to spread Torah and good things. That's the price that a person willfully accepts. So he then merits three things. Shulchan Orech. He's going to merit a set table, blessings in this world. Tzafun Barech. He's going to merit reward that is hidden away. He's going to merit the world to come. And finally, Halel Nirtza, he will be accepted to all, and he will be praised by all. So actually, this 15 stages, perhaps, can also be read as a personal encouragement for a person to grow Kaddish Urchatz, to be engaged in holiness, to purify himself, and all the benefits that come to a person who's devoted to religion, devoted to Torah and mitzvos, and who spreads Torah and mitzvos all over. Talking about the mitzvah of Kiddush, Rav Soloveitchik used to point out an interesting comment of the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Gemara mentions this already, the pasuk in regards to telling the story of leaving Egypt, one of the psukim is Zecharas Hayom Hazeh, remember this day, Asher Yetzasanu Mitzrayim, that you went out of Egypt. We have a similar pasuk about Kiddush of Zecharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, And the Gemara says, the Rambam says, that the same way Zachar Sayom Azeh, remember this day, means to tell the story of leaving Egypt on that day, the mitzvah of Kiddush also is to make Kiddush on that very day. In a certain way, they're certainly, you know, in a certain way, they are, connected to each other. So, what is the meaning of this connection between Zachar Sayom Shabbos Lekadsho, the mitzvah of Kiddush, and Zachar Sayom Azeh, and the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? So, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that the meaning of Kiddush is that Shabbos has to be a unique day. It has to be in its own category. He once gave a eulogy for his uncle, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, where he pointed out that Miriam complains about Moshe. Why is it that Moshe is separated from his wife? He's a Navi, I'm also a Naviya. I didn't separate from my husband. And Hashem rebukes Miriam. Hashem tells Miriam, Lo chein avdi Moshe. My servant Moshe is not like you. Yeah, you're a prophet and he's a prophet. But it's not that he's a greater prophet than you. He's in a different category. You know, in Yiddish the phrase was, nisht besser, not better, nisht gresser, not greater, nisht hecher, not higher, in ganzen andrish, entirely different. Moshe Rabbeinu is in an entirely different category. He's completely unique, sui generis. In that sense, that's what Shabbos is supposed to be. Shabbos is supposed to be a day, and it's a completely unique day. It's completely special. It's not like any other day. Weekday activities are neglected. Weekday conversation is neglected. It's a day of Shabbos. It's completely unique unto itself. And just like Shabbos is a day completely unto itself, so too Leil HaSeder, Seder night, is a night that's completely unique. It's its own night. We have at the very end of the Seder the song of Uvachein Vayihi Bachatzi Alayla. Therefore, it was in the middle of the night. Oz Rov Nisan Iflesa Balayla. All sorts of great things happened during this night. This is the night of Avram Avinu chasing the four kings. This is the night of killing the firstborn. This is the night of Haman being overturned. This is the night of Daniel seeing his vision. All these great things on this night, because this night is completely unique. And so in that sense, the Kiddush of Shabbos is the paradigm for the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, for the mitzvah of telling the story of leaving Egypt, of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the nature of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is that this night is a completely unique night. And one of the interesting features of Kiddush generally is that while we talk about the uniqueness of the time, we also talk about the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Asher bachar banu mikol am. Hashem chose us from all the other nations. For Roman Manu Mikol Lashon, and lifted us up over every other language, V'kidshanu b'mitzvosav, and sanctified us with his mitzvos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has uplifted us to an entirely new madrega, to a whole new level. And that's, you know, a theme of Kaddish. Kaddish is that it's to be unique, mufrash and muvdal. Seder night is a unique night. The Jewish people are a unique nation, just like Shabbos is a unique day. We know that there is a custom that when it comes to the cup of Kiddush and all the four cups, somebody else should pour the cup for you. So why? Say derech cheres, it's a way of freedom. So the obvious question, it's freedom for me, who the cup is being poured to, but it's not freedom to the guy sitting next to me who's serving me by having to pour the cup to me. So that's why others say maybe it's not because of derech cheres, but maybe it's just to do something unusual to get children to ask. Maybe that's exactly what we're doing, you know. This is to show that we're free. Oh, but makes you a slave. It doesn't make any sense. There's a question. There's a question. Children are asking questions. That's the theme of the night, to encourage questions. Or perhaps what we're learning is that real chayrus, real freedom, is the ability to help others. That's what real freedom. A slave is so stressed to survive, to get through the day, to get through the next moment. He doesn't have the time to help others or the capacity to think of others. He's just concerned with his own survival. To be free is the capacity to reach out and to care and to serve somebody else. That's real freedom. And so that's why derech chayrus is to pour for somebody else. So after Kadesh, we have Urchatz. We have to wash off our hands. And then we have, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, and Rachza. So I saw that Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich suggested the following. One of the things that leads a person, or one of the symbols of arrogance, is the hands. For example, we have the pasuk in Dvarim. The Jewish people might say, "Kochi v'otzem yadi," my strength, the might of my hand, asaliyat hachayel hazeh, accomplished for me all of this, treasure. Because a person's hands, maaseh yadav, the handiwork of his hands, lead a person to feel arrogant and lead him to feel, a great sense of achievement. And he looks at what he did, says, "Wow, look at what I've accomplished." So when a person comes to the Seder, he might look around and say, "Wow, look at what I have. I have such a beautiful table, a beautiful family, a beautiful home." And there can be this sense of great arrogance. So that's why right away, urchatz, you have to wash away the hand. Wash away the gava. Right away, you have to be humble. And maybe that goes throughout the Seder. You then have karpas. The Ari HaKadosh taught that karpas is also a symbol of humility. You only eat a little bit. It's a vegetable. It's a plain food. Yachatz, you break the matzah. And then you say, ma nishtana. Ma is what? What is, again, humility. Mishtana Hazeh Mikol HaLeilos, on this night we become very humble. And after all of that, we have Magid. So after Magid, again we're worried that after telling the story and teaching a child, the person feels arrogant. So again, Rachza, wash away the hands, get rid of the gaiva, and eat matzah, lechem oni, eat the poor man's bread, to continually have an enormous amount of humility. And maybe that's the idea of why we have to wash our hands before we daven, or we wash our hands first thing in the morning, or we wash our hands before we eat. But again and again, the message is, don't think that you're so powerful, that you're accomplishing, that you're arrogant. Be humble. After all, Torah says, v'achalta v'savata, you might eat and be full. V'ram levavecha, and then your heart will grow high. V'shachachta Hashem Elokecha, and you'll forget Hashem, your Lord. And therefore, we have to wash our hands to let go of that arrogance. And maybe that's even why the Kohanim have to wash their hands before they give Birchas Kohanim. Because when a Kohen gives Birchas Kohanim, he might feel great. Wow, look at the power I have. I stand over the Jewish people. I convey blessings upon the nation. So right away, a Kohen has to realize, the Pasuk says, V'samu Hashemi al B'nei Yisrael, they are to put my name on the Jewish people. I, Hashem, will bless them. The blessing comes from Hashem. They have to wash away the kochi v'otzem yadi, wash away the arrogance, and instead be very humble. After urchatz, we then have karpas, we then have the eating of a small vegetable. Rav Gamliel Rabinovich quoted his father, who taught that perhaps the idea of putting the vegetable into salt water is to remind us of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, "Kachi darka shel Torah." This is the way of Torah, Pas b'melach tochal. Sometimes you can only not afford much. You'll have bread that you get with some salt. So perhaps in the merit of being willing to have very little, you get to Shulchan Aruch. You end up getting a big amount, and you get to a lot that's later. So after Karpas, we have the mitzvah of Yachatz, of taking the matzah and breaking it in half, keeping the smaller amount in front of us and the larger amount putting away for later. So perhaps this is the idea that we have to split the matzah in half and put away the larger amount for later. The matzah, perhaps, you know, tzafun, that which is hidden, the matzah put away for later, is connected to the times of Mashiach. Mashiach is the future time, the times of Mashiach. It's hidden away from us now. And so the larger piece of matzah has to be for the times of Mashiach. Why? Because there's a very famous comment of a big tzaddik, of Yisrael of Rizhin. He said that he thought that when Mashiach would come, the nature of the war of Gog and Magog is not going to be a physical war with weapons and nuclear explosions, but the nature of the war of Gog and Magog is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a rope, stretch it around the world, and he's in the name of the rope will be Emuna. And everyone's going to supposed to hold on to this rope, and he's going to start shaking the rope to see who's going to hold on to the rope even though it's shaking. And there's a whole world underneath them. Who's going to hold on to Emuna? That's perhaps the meaning of the Gemara in Maseches Makos. The Gemara says that originally Moshe Rabbeinu taught us 613 mitzvos. Came David HaMelech, and he summarized it to 11. Came Yeshayahu HaNavi, made it into 6 basic principles. Came Micha, said it was 3. And finally came Habakkuk and said it was 1. V'Habakkuk ve'amidon al achas, tzadik ve'emunaso yichya. Habakkuk came and said there's one basic principle, that tzaddik lives by virtue of his emuna, by virtue of his faith. And so perhaps the idea of yachatz, of putting away the larger matzah for later, is that that future time, that geula, is dependent on the larger piece of matzah, on the matzah which is na'amad and hamnusa, the bread of faith, that larger amount of faith for later, the emuna for later, is what will enable us to overcome and to be deserving in that time of the future. There's a famous thought that the 3 matzos correspond to Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. So why would we break the matzah of Levi? So again, I saw a nice thought here in the Haggadah of Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich. He said that Yaakov Avinu, when he was giving out the brachos, he was upset that Shimon and Levi had a temper. So he said, "Achal kein bi Yaakov, I'll split them up around Yaakov. I won't give Levi one portion. I'll scatter them around. There are 42 Arei Levim, cities of the Levim, all over the land of Israel. V'afitzim bi Yisrael. So Achal kein bi Yaakov, since Yaakov wanted to break up Levi, Shevet Levi gets broken. Now we know that another role of Shevet Levi is that they're the ones to teach Torah. And we break the matzah, Kadesha Yishlu Atinokos, that the children will ask. So it's appropriate that that which is triggering curiosity and getting children to ask should be the matzah of Levi, the matzah of those who teach Torah, who get people to ask, and in that way get them to get an education. Perhaps another idea is that the 3 matzos, besides corresponding to Kohen Levi Yisrael, also correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's a famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that when Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or before Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to confront the fact that the Jewish people have many sins, and in particular the sin of being disloyal to Hashem, Avodah Zarah. And Hashem says, because of Avodah Zarah, they deserve to be punished. So Hashem is going to approach Avram Avinu. Avram will say, well, if they did have Avodah Zarah, there's nothing I can say to defend them. He'll approach Yaakov. Yaakov will say, there's nothing I can say to defend them. But when he approaches Yitzchak, Yitzchak will make a whole calculation. He'll say, listen, how long does a person live? 70 years. The first 20 years, the Bezdin Shalmala, the court in heaven, doesn't punish. So that only leaves 50 years. Of the 50 years, 25 of those years, a person's either in the bathroom or sleeping or eating, can't really do any averos. It leaves only 25 years. Of the 25 years that are left, chetzi alai v'chetzi alach, half on me and half on you. I take 12 and a half, and you take 12 and a half. So Yitzchak, by taking 12 and a half of those years, he enables us to get redemption. So that's why the middle matzah is the matzah of Yitzchak. The top matzah is Avram, the middle is Yitzchak, and the last is Yaakov. So the middle matzah is broken too, to remind us of that Gemara, that Yitzchak takes half the sins on himself in order to save the Jewish people before the coming of Mashiach. In general, the whole idea of breaking a matzah obviously is an idea of humility. So if we think about it, we have Karpas Yachatz, and after Yachatz we have Magid, with telling the story and praising Hashem. Perhaps we can only start to praise Hashem when we first humble ourselves. First we need to break ourselves and be humble, and when we are humble, then we have the right to come and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to tell the story of leaving Egypt. One of the classical questions about Magid is, why is there no bracha before we do this mitzvah? We know that any time we do a mitzvah, we have to make a bracha beforehand. We think about Pesach, the night of Pesach, or the night of Erev Pesach, before Bedikas Chametz, we make a bracha. Asher Kitshan Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Bir Chametz. So why don't we make a bracha, Asher Kitshan Mitzvos V'Tzivanu L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Hashem gave us a mitzvah to tell the story. It's a very important mitzvah. It's a big part of the night. It's one of the main mitzvos. See B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. So one of the classical answers is we do make a bracha. We make a bracha at the end of Magid. At the very end of Magid, we have the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Ga'alanu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu Mitzrayim, who has redeemed us and redeemed our ancestors from Egypt, V'Gianu Alayla Azeh Le'echol Bo Matzah U'Maror, and brought us this night to eat matzah and maror. Kein Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, so to God our Lord, Yigiyenu L'Mu'adim V'L'Rugalim Acherim, He should bring us to other holidays, Avoyim L'Kaseinu L'Shalom, that are coming to us in peace. Smeichem B'Vinyan Irecha, happy with the building of your city. V'Sasim Avodasechon, celebrating your service. V'Nochal Sham and Azvach Min HaPsachim, and we'll eat there from the Karbanos Chagiga, Karbanos Pesach. Asher Yagia Dam Malkir Mizbachach L'Ratzon, that their blood will arrive on the wall of your Mizbeach, to find favor, v'nodulach hashir chadash al kulaseinu v'abdus nafshenu baruch ato Hashem Gaal Yisrael. So that bracha of Gaal Yisrael also includes a bracha on Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's one of the classical answers. So the Chassam Sofer asked, well, we have a rule. Kol ha-mitzvos kulan mevarchen alein over la'asiyasan. Every mitzvah, you're supposed to make a bracha before you do it. So here we're making a bracha after we do it. So the Chassam Sofer gives a very beautiful answer. So we know that one of the major themes of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just to tell the story, but Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. A person has to view himself and feel himself that he himself is getting out of Egypt. And part of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is to relive the experience of leaving Egypt. So now in Egypt, it was matchu b'gnusim asayim b'shevach. First we were slaves, and then we end up with praise of going free. Now there is one birchas hamitzvah that's recited at the end, and that's geirus. When a convert, when a non-Jew is converting, so he can't recite the bracha before he dunks. Because before he dunks, he's not Jewish. So he dunks in the mikvah, and then he comes out, he makes the bracha, baruch ato Hashem, that God has given him the mitzvah of immersion. So since Seder night, we are reliving Egypt, and we have to view ourselves as if we are experiencing it. And that experience was to go from slaves to being Jews. It was an experience of Geirus. So in Geirus, the bracha is recited after the tvila. That's why in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, the bracha is recited at the end of telling the story, because then by having that type of unusual arrangement, it's like the arrangement of Geirus, and by being like the arrangement of Geirus, that teaches us about about how we are to view ourselves as if we personally came out of Egypt. The Chasam Sofer suggested that the theme of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim should just be very simple, just to tell the story, not to get all involved in the halachic issues. It's just simply to tell the story and to make sure that we, you know, convey the messages of Emunah that have to be conveyed to the children. The first passage is the passage of Halach Ma'anya, where we say, this is the bread of affliction, the achala of Asana of Ba'ar de Mitzrayim, that our ancestors ate when they were slaves in Egypt. Kol Dichvin, anyone who is poor, who's hungry, Yesev Yechol, let him come and eat. Kol Ditzrich, anyone who needs help, Yesev Yifsach, come and join in our celebration of Pesach. Now, currently, we are here. L'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Next year, in the land of Israel. Hashata avdei. Next, now we are slaves. L'shana haba. Next year, b'nei chorin, we are to be free. So, that's the passage of Halach Ma'anya. Question is, why do we say that here? Why do we suddenly invite the guests? It's in the middle of the meal. We could have invited the guests back in shul. What's the point of inviting them once we're starting to tell the story? And how is inviting the guests somehow an introduction to the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story about leaving Egypt? So the Chasam Sofer gave a very beautiful answer. A very classical question is, why do we make such a big deal about leaving Egypt? After all, we're still in exile. Okay, so we left then. But we're not free. We're in exile. There are Jews who face anti-Semitism. And I would argue, even in the land of Israel, we're in exile. We have so many enemies inside, outside. We have terrorists. We have threats. We're not yet fully redeemed. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Nevuah. We don't have, you know, no Yetzer Hara. We're so far from the vision of the Nevi'im. So what are we celebrating? We celebrate redemption? We're currently in exile. The Chasam Sofer said the answer is like this. When we were in Egypt, there was no way for us to get out of exile. Hashem had told Avram, Geri Yezarach HaBeretz Lolahem, your descendants will be strangers. Va'avadim v'inu osam, they'll be afflicted and enslaved for 400 years. And that was it. We were going to be there for that period of time, no matter what we did, one way or the other. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his chesed, suddenly, you know, decided the 400 years get counted differently from the birth of Yitzchak or because of the difficulty. But basically, we were set for a long time. That's not true about our current exile. It's a very famous Gemara in the Masechet Sanhedrin. Gemara says, I think it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who met Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, where is Mashiach? Eliyahu HaNavi told him, Mashiach is in Rome, he's in the gate of the city, and he's a person who has bandages on both of his legs. Poor person. So he went to Rome, he found this pauper who had bandages on both of his legs that were filled with blood. And he said, Emasai Ka'asimar, when are you coming? So Mashiach said to him, Hayom, coming today. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was thrilled. He ran back, you know, Mashiach's coming today. Anyway, Mashiach didn't arrive. So he next met Eliyahu HaNavi. He said, well, is Mashiach Dover Shkarim? Is Mashiach someone who says lies? Eliyahu HaNavi said, no, he said the truth. Hayom, he's coming today. Im b'kol tishmo. If you listen to his voice, if you listen to Hashem's voice and you do tshuva, Mashiach is coming today. When we are in exile now, there was no promise of how many years we had to be in. We're in exile because of sins. But we can do tshuva, and right away we can come out. Now there are all sorts of mitzvos that can help make us get out sooner from exile. One of the most important is the mitzvah of tzedakah. As the pasuk says, G'dola tzedakah, shenekarev zageula, greatest tzedakah. It, Gemara says, it brings geula closer. As the pasuk says, shimru mishpat v'asu tzedakah. Do tzedakah, ki krova Yeshua si lavo, v'tzidka si ligalos, because my Yeshua is close to arrive. So when you know that you can make redemption come sooner, even though you are in exile, you're not so worried. Because you know, all we need to do is step up our game, and Bezrat Hashem will be out of here very quickly. So that's not as difficult an exile as the exile of the Jews in Egypt. So that's what we say. We begin our Seder by saying that very point. We're eating matzah, the bread of affliction, the same way our ancestors in Egypt ate matzah, bread of affliction. So he says, so if it's the same thing, we're in exile, they're in exile, what are we celebrating? Oh no, but we now know that we can easily get ourselves out. We just need to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. Kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol. Anyone who's hungry, come and eat. Kol ditzrich, anyone who needs, yeseh v'yifsach, come and have part of the Karban Pesach. And therefore, if we do tzedakah, shata hacha, now we're here. Shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Next year we'll be in Israel. Hashata avdei, now we are slaves. Shana haba b'nei chorin. Next year we're going to be free. We go on from the Halach Ma'anya to the questions of Manishtana. And we ask the basic questions. Manishtana Laila Zeh Mikol Alelos. How different is this night from all the other nights? So one of the questions is, why does it say Manishtana Halayla Zeh? The language should have been Lama Nishtana Halayla Zeh. Why was this night different? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that this is again the idea that he said in regards to Kiddush. Manishtana Halayla Zeh perhaps is not even a question. It's a declaration. How different this night is from all the other nights. And then four proofs to that contention. All of the nights we eat matzah and maror, this matzah and chametz, this night only matzah. All of the nights we eat maror and other vegetables, this night only maror. All other nights we eat sitting and reclining, this night only reclining. All of the nights we don't dip, this night we dip twice. The declarative nature of Manishtana is to fulfill the mandate that this is a unique night. This night is completely unique, sui generis. And that's why we have to say Manishtana Laila Zeh, how different this night is from all the other nights of the year. After Manishtana, we go on to Avadim Ayinu. We were slaves to Paro in Egypt, and Hashem took us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. So one of the classical questions is, we have not answered the questions of Manishtana actually directly. We just said a general principle. We were slaves in Egypt. Hashem took us out. So maybe the answer is like this. You don't always need to have an answer. We want our children to learn they can ask questions. They don't need to get the answers right away to the questions. And you can live with the questions. That's one of the ideas that's very important in regards to the study of Kabbalah. Rav Chaim Vital writes, you can only learn Kabbalah if you're on the level that when you get to something very difficult, you don't say, oh, that means it's wrong. You say, I don't understand it. But it itself is correct. But if you always try to assume that you can answer everything, and things that you don't understand means that they must be wrong, then you can't have a connection to the Torah of Kabbalah. The whole theme of Pesach is it's the time of emunah, the time of faith. So on the one hand, when we have faith, it means that there's revelation, there's answers to all sorts of questions. But it also means that there are all sorts of questions that we don't need answers to. And even without the answers, we still have a deep, deep emunah. We have a deep faith. And so right after we have the questions, we don't give the answers right away. And I can't actually go off to Avadim Ayinu. Eventually we'll get to these answers and to, precise answers of the questions of the Manishtana. After Avadim Ayinu, we have the famous story of the Maisa with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon, who were reclining in Bnei Brak and telling the story all night until their students came and told them, Rabboseinu, Higi Azman Kriya Shma Shel Shachris. So before the Baal Agada tells all the stories of leaving Egypt, he tells us this story about the five Gedolim who were sitting in Bnei Brak that whole night. Why? Apparently, even before we get to the stories of Egypt, he wants the children to have a relationship with tzaddikim, and to have an example of the great tzaddikim and the way they acted, and that way they would learn to become people who have deep emunah. It's so important to learn about tzaddikim that think about in Al HaNisim we begin with B'yimei Matisyahu, in the days of Matisyahu. Why dated by Matisyahu? Because when you want to impress emunah, you always have to have a living example. This is what emunah is. And this is a person who lived with emunah. And then people can learn, you know, and internalize emunah. And that's what's happening here too. First you have the story of these Zakenim and Bnei Brak, and then we can get into the details of the story of leaving Egypt. After Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said that based on the pasuk Kol Yomei Chayecha, he has a source for mentioning leaving Egypt even at nights. The Baal Haggadah says Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem, blessed is the Almighty. Baruch Shenasan Torah LaAmu Yisrael Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem who's given the Torah to the Jewish people. Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, the Torah talked about four different sons. So one of the questions is why have this passage here? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem, blessed is He, blessed is the one who gave the Torah to the Jewish people, blessed is He. So I saw a wonderful idea, again in the Haggadah of Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich. He said, part of Seder night is not just to tell us about leaving Egypt, but to really build us and to fix even the most original sin, the sin of Adam HaRishon. The core of the sin of Adam HaRishon was lack of gratitude. Here Hashem had put him in Gan Eden, had given him a wife, given him Chava. It was amazing. And what's his response? Hashem, why did I eat from the tree of knowledge? Ha'isha asher nasata imadi. It's the woman you gave me. It's all your fault. He had lack of Hakara Satov. So on Seder night, we want to stress the idea of Hakara Satov. So we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. We're so thankful to Hashem. We're thankful that He gave us the Torah. That Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. Four different times the Torah tells us to tell the story of leaving Egypt. Why does it say it four times? Because there are four different sons, and each son asks a different type of question. He has to be given a different type of answer. So since it's all about what an amazing Torah, that the Torah can address itself to all these different types of people, we have to express our Hakaras HaTov, our enormous thankfulness for the Torah. And since we are expressing our thankfulness, in that way we are fixing the sin of Adam HaRishon, who was an ingrate, who was not thankful for the gifts that Hashem gave him. One of the beautiful ideas that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out is that in a normal intellectual discipline, whether it be math or English or social studies, so typically there are different books for different age levels and different maturity levels. So someone who is immature will have one type of a book. Someone who's more advanced will have another type of book. You wouldn't see a postdoctoral graduate student in math using a primer about basic arithmetic. But what's amazing about the Torah is that the same book can talk to each of the four sons. The same book has the answer for the Chacham, and for the Rasha, and for the She'eni Yodea Lishol. And that's the proof that the Torah is divine. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed Hashem, blessed is He. Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Am Yisrael, blessed is He who gave the Torah. Because only Hashem who gave the Torah can create a book that Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, that the Torah can speak to each of the four sons and have the exact guidance that each one needs to get the message of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. Thank you.